upgrading our schools all over the state. We need to provide money for the deterioration of university buildings and put new buildings in. Keep our students in the state. Don't send them out of state to get an education. We should do it in our own boundaries. We need roads. We need bridges. We need all kinds of things. There's nothing wrong with capital budget. The most important thing, it gives honest jobs to many, many people. And I do not want to sacrifice capital projects for the sake of more big government. A lot of the pablum that were given people in the name of welfare, they didn't ask for. They didn't come here for that reason. And I don't think that we can continuously give out hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars for nothing whatsoever and then say we're broke and not do the necessary thing in upgrading the infrastructures of this state. Thank you.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the privilege of the floor to speak on correcting the record.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, first to the co-chairman of Finance and to remarks that he made. The last budget sheet that was given out to the House Republicans showed a capital budget in it of $299 million. If there was a later sheet, it was never released to the House Republicans that showed that we had $157 million surplus because we had backed out the $299 million capital budget. So if there is a sheet that suggests that, I would, of course, be very happy to see it, having not had that opportunity thus far. I will have to say that there are sometimes I have to throw kind of a fit to get information from some of the staff and to the Finance Committee. Mr. Speaker, to my representative colleague from District 13, he said an increase is not a decrease, or something to that effect.
The decrease or the increase?
And, of course, while I would correct the co-chairman of Finance, I must also correct him, because the governor did have an increase, and that increase was based on $18.93 a barrel oil. And while we did work from the governor's figure, we did get below FY92, which means there was a decrease in the budget. There was a decrease of $11.6 million with the amendment adopted on this floor. And there was a substantial decrease in the number of state employees. I believe the number before that you factor in the COLA adjustment that has to be absorbed by the departments was probably about, if memory serves me correctly, and this is not exact, it's from memory, I believe there was 187 employee decrease in the House budget before the COLA absorption, and once the COLA has been absorbed, it will be somewhere around 500 employees. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The privilege of the floor to speak on apologies, rhetoric, and the remainder of the session.
Are there any objections? Objections, Representative Ellis?
Oh, yeah.
Proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry if I upset people on this floor at times, and I know I do and have, and I probably will in the remaining days. It's not my intent to upset anyone or to demean anyone. It's just that I find myself upset, Mr. Speaker, every day that I walk into these chambers, every day that I sit down in a committee hearing, every time I watch a committee chairman ruthlessly and with arrogance use the power of his office to deny the movement of good legislation, I get upset. Every day when I walk on this floor and I see a calendar controlled by your group that does not reflect things that I'm concerned about, I find myself upset. When I'm forced to sit on this floor and endure debate on subjects like we just went through today, I get upset. And I realize I don't control this floor. And I realize that when somebody mentions that there's a TV camera on the floor, and maybe somehow the minority put it on here, it's probably because that person honestly believes that the minority in this House still has a budget. I remember when they did. I remember when the Republicans were in control of this body and gave the Democrats a $280,000 budget to be in the minority. You see, I can remember back that far. Some people in here don't remember yesterday. So, you see, I get upset when somebody implies we as a minority had the authority, had the wherewithal, even had an item, even had a column listed over there in a computer called the minority budget. You weren't satisfied with just taking the money. You even took the number completely out. In fact, minorities around here have had as high as $570,000 budgets. You know, and then I get told that to exercise the rights of an individual party, that that's like doing something that Lenin would support. And I'm expected to sit here and eat it day after day. My party's expected to sit here and eat those decisions by some of the parties who can't even find their way onto this floor to vote, so we all wait for them. A call of the House. So I do get upset. When I get upset, I use words that I shouldn't use on my colleagues. Because I have a great deal of respect and love for the members of this body. I truly do. I know how hard each of us fight every day to go through the process of being here, how much sacrifice the members go through individually, how much their families go through so we can even sit on this floor. And I do lose my patience. And for that, I'm a lesser person, and I apologize to each of you. But hopefully maybe you can understand the sense that I feel after 6 years in this process. Because you see, Mr. Speaker, I sincerely hope that none of you who return to this floor, who may find yourselves in different roles, will be treated even halfway close to the way I find myself and my colleagues often treated in this body. So I apologize. Thank you.
Well, let's see. Representative Lehman, you allege him.
Mr. Speaker, I request the privilege of the floor to speak on political posturing and pious pronouncements.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Mr. Speaker, earlier today we heard a suggestion that at least some of the activity may have been based on political posturing, and we also heard a vigorous denial of that, and we just heard, a very compassionate apology, and so I think it's probably best to let each of us decide what really it was. I know that I probably have the liberty under special orders to state what I think, but I'll not do that, and I'll let each of you decide. I think the answer is probably quite obvious. But I do want to address one thing, and that is, I'll call it pious pronouncements of, and it usually appears in, let's give the voter the most choice. So let's give people choice. And that's a word that I find being used so much in society anymore, because people want choices. They don't want to be denied choices. And yet the very people that are saying let's maximize choice in many cases are the ones who are denying choice to people who want to exercise that. See, Mr. Speaker, I've also done polling, and I know that there's only one issue in the results that I've seen the score's higher than even the desire of people to have an open primary, scores higher than the desire of people to have capital punishment, even though 80% of the people support that, and that is the desire of people to be able to vote on whether terms should be limited. Now, I know that I don't even get full support in my own caucus on that issue, and I look around, and most of the time, eyes glaze over, and daggers are about ready to be thrown, and maybe even a member with a left hand will swing. And when I raise the issue. But the point of the matter is this: if we want to maximize choice for voters, we will allow them to vote on that issue. You know, instead of saying they don't understand the issue well enough to put it on the ballot, or in reality, if we put it on the ballot and vote for it, we will be denying them some choice, and that is being able to vote for somebody like us who may have served longer than that. And Mr. Speaker, I think that's wrong, and I likewise think that it's, even though I see some movement in that legislation in committee. I guess I'd be shocked if I ever saw that pass through this year, both the House and the Senate, to be able to put on the ballot. I would be shocked, because I don't believe that really two-thirds of the body of this House or the Senate really wants to give voters that choice. And the same holds true for a shorter session. 65% of the people support reducing the session length. You think we're going to give them that choice? They'd vote for it in a heartbeat if we did. That's part of maximizing choice. Another point is on the budget bill. I've had members of the majority caucus come to me and say, I didn't want to vote for that bill, but I had to. Where's their choice? You know, coerced compliance. Try my House Joint Resolution 5. That addresses some of those issues. I think if we really want to make some of these pronouncements, we will give people choice, Mr. Speaker. And I'd love to see some action on those. I think these types of reforms will do a whole lot to this body and they'll do a whole lot to the public impression of what we're doing in the legislature. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask for permission to speak on apologies and caucus politics.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
First of all, I would apologize to the minority caucus. I certainly didn't intend to suggest, Mr. Speaker, and I'm sorry if I did, that the minority caucus itself hired television cameras to be on the floor. It just a remark by a previous speaker that the reason for the cameras being on the floor was politically motivated kind of set me off. I was aware that the camera for the last few days has been filming for individual members of the minority, and I think probably the majority or whoever. I don't really have a problem with that, Mr. Speaker, because I think it would be nice for any member to be able to use footage in campaign commercials or whatever they choose to use it for, and I certainly don't have a problem with that. And I think that if we allow for access of cameras on this floor for members' personal purposes or for the TV stations to report the news, I think that we're doing a worthwhile thing for everyone. And I apologize if I offended the minority whip or other members of the minority. It certainly wasn't my intention to do that. However, I felt I just needed to state that. That's why I did it. The previous speaker spoke a little bit about caucus politics and about choice. I also am a supporter of choice. And I think that as far as term limits go, that that people do have a choice whether or not they want to send somebody back or not. And, it's really, I think, more of a political issue of having that bill and resolution around, and people certainly maximize it and minimize it however they want for those types of reasons. But the true fact of the matter is the people of the state do have a choice whether or not somebody is doing an admirable job representing them. There's members that have been in this body for a long time who I happen to have a lot of respect for, and I think the reason they're here is because their people that they represent feel they are doing an excellent job. There's a lot of members that are no longer here that have been here in the body before, and for whatever reason, perhaps sometimes people feel they aren't doing an admirable job, and that's why they're no longer here. So I think that choice is there. As far as members of the majority being absolutely required to vote on different things, whether they like it or not, I think the member brings out a good point, but it does work both ways. You know, it's all part of the system. It's part of caucus politics, and you try to do the best you can to satisfy the group of people that you're working with in the caucus. And sometimes it goes against how you might personally feel on one particular issue, but then becomes part of a package and a part of an effort to be a team. And I think that's certainly understandable, and I don't have any problem being part of a caucus, whether that was a majority or a minority, in trying to accomplish the goals. I'd just like to close, Mr. Speaker, by saying that, in listening to the minority leader, sometimes being negative and sometimes being positive and being direct and apologetic, and you never know what mood he's going to be in when he comes in. I do find that I do have a lot of respect for the minority leader and other members of all members of this body because of their their individual right to speak how they believe. So I don't usually take offense to any of those kind of things. I like to listen and learn, and I also appreciate being a member of this body. Thank you.
I like the minority leader when his face turns purple. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the privilege of the floor to speak on everything that's been discussed.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Speaker, first of all, I want to clarify the cameraman over here is a private businessman who is on the floor today taking footage that he hopes he'll be able to sell to any of the members who would like it so that he can continue in operation as a private businessman. And any of you who are interested who have spoken, speak to him. He'd be more than happy to help you out. In fact, I may partake of that myself. I want to, I guess, you know, the minority leader has said that he gets mad, and another member of the minority mentioned that somehow caucus decisions or people having to be locked in. You know, I see votes all the time on this floor where the minority votes en masse, and I don't want it suggested that they're not locked in on those things. Mr. Speaker, the other thing that I'll say is that I have had people tell me and pledge to work cooperatively with me through the budget process, and some have said they would and then worked to undermine those efforts, and I get mad. As far as information that comes from my office, as soon as it's available, anyone can have it. I had thought we handed out that sheet on the floor. If not, just on your own initiative, back out the capital budget and see what number you come up with. It'll be about $157 million. We'll deal with the capital budget later. As to some of the other comments that were made about how the minority is treated during the course of the legislative session over the last 6 years or 8 years, however long, depending on who was speaking, has been in the legislature. Mr. Speaker, I have always tried to work with the minority members on the things that they have, and I've also seen other times where just petty little politics stands in the way of good things happening. And it's not just the majority that causes that. It's also the minority that causes that from time to time. Mr. Speaker, the reason that term limits, the reason that session length are so popular with the public is not because they really are needed, in my opinion. It's because we, in this body, and the press spend all their time beating up on us and playing politics. Mr. Speaker, originally, you know, everyone says politics. That's what this is. This is politics. Originally, when our governments were set up, they were not set up or designed to be petty, partisan, political machines. And I guess that I resent any implication that that's what they should be. Mr. Speaker, our job as representatives in this body is to endeavor to do the best job that we can in what we believe is the best interest of the people of the state of Alaska, be they Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, Independents, whatever. And that's what I try to do, and I see, you know, I can see some of the frustration that the minority leader expresses, but at the same time, I see some things that members of that group do at times that frustrate me also.
Representative Baker.
It's lunchtime, or it's past lunchtime, so I'm not going to take a lot of time. I'd kind of like to just put a positive spin on this, if such a thing can happen in the final 19 days. You know, I don't know whether I've been mistreated or not. Things have been fine with me for the last year and nine-tenths that we've been here, and I guess I'd like to say thank you, Mr. Speaker, for your treatment, particularly as one individual of this body. But I'd kind of like us to think, and as we look forward in the next 19 days, that we have to, we still have the people's business to do, and we still have budget problems, as the co-chair of finance has indicated. We have a lot of other problems, and reapportionments amongst us, and there's a lot of concerns about that, and there's a lot of politics, and that kind of goes with the territory. But you know, some of us will return next year, some will not. And if we come back to this body again, we're going to have to work together, and so we have to work together for the balance of this year. And I know how difficult it is as we come down the home stretch, but I'd really like us to try to look forward to what we can do and without too much bloodletting on this floor, and certainly a certain amount of that's politics, and look forward, because next year we're going to have a bigger problem than we have this year, frankly, and we all know that from a fiscal side. So, you know, and those of us that do return, we're going to have to hold together and grasp those problems again next year, and let's try to get the people's business done and do so with the least amount of consternation. And if I had one wish as we approach the final 19 days, that would be my wish.
Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak on motives.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I think there's a real good reason we don't talk about motives on the floor of the House, because it can, the entire debate can digress rapidly if we do that. The issues before us either should rise or fall on their merits as issues and not on the reasons they're being brought to the body, whatever they might or may not be. There's also real dangers in representing what someone else is thinking. I mean, only an individual can know what they are truly thinking. And when we venture into that, I always feel very uneasy. I know the press loves motives. They love to want to know what people are thinking. And one of the most uncomfortable questions I'm asked by the press on an absolute regular basis is, why does somebody do something, or what does somebody else think about something? And I'm on a regular basis saying that you need to talk to them about that. I mean, I can't say why somebody else does what they do, I try to avoid that as much as possible. And there are times where those debates or discussions occur, of course, but it's a good general rule to avoid them as much as possible. And I think a classic example of when it has been good is, I think it's one of the major problems with the current administration. I mean, people on both sides of this aisle have encountered this, and maybe not as much in the last month or so, but clearly a lot last year, where it wasn't, the debate from the administration wasn't based on the merits of a proposal before a committee. The response was always, well, you're just doing that because of this, or you're because of that. And it wasn't just targeted towards the majority. It was minority members fell victim of this very improperly also, Mr. Speaker. And it was really destructive to the constructive development of public policy. And it really, I was very sorry to see that kind of attitude on the part of the administration. And I really hope we don't get that coming out on the House floor here, because the darn thing can escalate. And pretty soon that's what all the debate's about, rather than whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. And I just don't want to see that, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And while there's just a few of us left here, I've been listening, and I think I'm one of the few people that have actually seen both sides over the last 6 years, and I've only been involved in this body for 6 years. I served four years in the minority, and of course I've had the pleasure of spending the last 2 years with the majority. And I think that I can see both sides of the issue, and I understand the frustrations of the minority, who are often denied, because of just the way political things are organized, opportunities. And I also see the concerns of the majority, because there's an effort to try to establish the policies of the state and to establish the spending plan of the state. And that's our biggest concern that we have this year. We've only got 19 days left to go. We simply have to work together. The issue is bigger than any one of us. It's bigger than our reelection. It has to do, I think, with the livelihood of thousands of Alaskans out there. Jobs are on the line. Spending priorities, what we're going to use as far as reserves are concerned. And I think we're working hard. We're trying to come up with some prioritization. We're trying to eliminate some of the expectations of the public. And we have made some. If you don't think we've cut, just read your mail. I mean, the senior citizens are saying, you know, you've ripped us apart. The people who are concerned about children's financing are saying that you've dived into our programs. Education that actually got an increase this year is still saying it's not enough. And so we really do have some serious problems here. And I just simply like to urge all of us to really think like statesmen. The cameras aren't on. We really need to think like statesmen.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request permission to speak on Lenin and keep your packets.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
This will be brief, mercifully. Number one, it was Stalin, not Lenin. And number two, keep your packets. I'm moving to ask unanimous consent. We stand in adjournment until tomorrow at 10.
I still think it's Boss Tweed. 10 o'clock.